Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello there, my very good friends. On today's wrestling news, a major return closes AEW Dynamite. Is this when Kenny Omega will return to AEW Dynamite? Question mark. A missing AEW star has worked their first match in 7 months, and on top of that, another AEW wrestler has just had their name changed. Or, I mean, it was probably their choice, but here we go. I'm Andy Murray.
I'm Michael Sidgwick.
And this is the news. Before we get this thing going, shout outs to our very good friend, Travis the Creator at AEW1 for this wonderful sign here. Great stuff across the board. You love to see it.
Thank you very much.
Chris Jericho would have looked at that as he was coming down the ring. Fantastic. We love you. We love everyone. All of the great flatties out there. Let's kick things off by talking about the major return that closed last night's episode of AEW Dynamite. It was Quake by the Lake. Chris Jericho lost his world title match with the interim champion, John Moxley. Afterwards, we got a big run in. Everyone associated with those people came down. Claudio, Eddie, Ortiz, the Jericho Appreciation Society. The JAS obviously have a numerical advantage, so who comes out to save the day? It's Cult of Personality, it's Chick Magnet Phil, CM Punk, and that pop hit me like a shot of double espresso first thing in the morning. He knocked a bunch of people down on the ramp, he then got in the ring, helped clear out the stragglers, and then of course him and Moxley go face to face. Moxley's got the belt on his shoulder, and because he's John Moxley, he can't just have that. He lifts the middle finger right in his face. There's your all-out main event, you'd imagine. Proper huge pop, proper incredible atmosphere it sounded like in the building. Take it away.
I'm prone to hyperbole and recency bias, but this instantly feels like the biggest thing in the world of professional wrestling right now. I cannot wait for this unification match. As Murray points out, the atmosphere was so thick and electrifying, it instantly felt like the match that everybody wanted to see, which is a testament, I think, in retrospect, to how great an idea it was to do the interim title and how much trust John Moxley had placed in him by Tony Khan, and how wonderful this run has been, because I don't know who's going to win, quite frankly. I think I prefer Mox to win, even though Punk's possibly the most popular wrestler in the world. Punk hopping around on the canvas on his surgically repaired foot was just that little bit you needed. And shout out for his work as well, like stumbling around, was it Comic-Con?
That's right,
in
San Diego.
Boots, looking a little bit withdrawn and miserable, and what a worker, what a match this promises to be. How electrifying is it? Absolutely wonderful to see him back, looking in it, absolutely incredible shape as well. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting into the story, because just a very quick aside before we move on to the next story. There was a Twitter post, right, that I recall vividly years ago, when the hype around Dean Ambrose, before he even was in FCW, was like this hot new independent sensation. And we worked a dark match, and CM Punk took a picture saying, "This is our secret weapon." He was really putting over Ambrose. And then in the years since, he kind of replies to someone on Twitter saying that Roman's his favourite wrestler in the Shield. And when he cut the promo on Dynamite, announcing that John Moxley had in fact gone to rehab, he said, "You know, we're not super tight, we're not super close." So how do we go from that to him sort of like really hyping Ambrose as a secret weapon? Is there a history there? Will it be explored? As you can tell, I'm extremely excited about this, and gauging by that crowd reaction, I think everyone in the AEW fan base is too.
Yeah, hot take, guys. It'll be quite good.
Yeah, it'll be awesome.
Put that on Twitter, get 10,000 likes.
Yeah.
Kenny Omega, his return was kind of forecasted on Dynamite as well. So, Trios Tournament, bracket announced on one side. We have the Young Bucks and a mystery partner against Andrade El Idolo, Rush, and Dragon Lee. I mean, that's a crazy match to start with.
Yeah.
But immediately you might go, okay, Hangman Page, because Hangman saved the Bucks from Adam Cole and Red Dragon last week. Well, the Bucks approached Hangman and the Dark Order backstage. Did the whole, you know, we were assholes, yada yada yada. Not enough time really to break down the full content of Matt Jackson's diatribe here. But Hangman was like, they essentially asked him to be their partner. Water under the bridge, let's cement our alliance again, all of that stuff. Hangman was like, guys, sorry, I accept your apology, all of this stuff, but the Dark Order are on the other side of the bracket, and they were there for me when I was trying to become world champion, so I'm going to be there for them, supporting them in this tournament. I'm not going to oppose them, and all of that stuff. So the Young Bucks went away. Brandon Thurston. Imagine that. He's a good wrestler himself, actually.
Absolutely.
Weird. Brandon Cutler was like, hey guys, I think they, he meant we. I should be your partner. But no, I mean, it's almost certainly Kenny, right? He's been out since November with every ailment known to mankind. Get a medical textbook. He probably suffered from something on every single page, but it seems like he's coming back, and it seems like this is the spot. The match is next week.
One would think so, but we do have a viable alternative lined up if you stick around for the Twitter questions, so do stick around for that. But yeah, I think it's clearly foreshadowing the return of Kenny Omega, and again, feels like AEW really is back. It's clicking. The build's all out, just instantly transformed on Quake by the lake. One little detail I loved about this promo as well, I'm going to talk about it on the podcast as well. I'm very sorry about this. I just loved it so much. If you recall, at All Out 2019, Hangman Page, not feeling quite elite, asked the Young Bucks to second him to his match with Chris Jericho, and they, having been positioned in the semi-main against the Lucha Brothers in a demented plunder war, were like, can't do that, sorry. And Hangman Page was obviously gutted. It impacted the character's loss in the storyline. So for him, 3 years later, to go and say, no, I'm actually going to do what you couldn't do for me 3 years ago, it's just a great illustration of what a babyface he is. And it's another great illustration of the sheer amount of depth and continuity that goes into this, like, almost unprecedented, ambitious story the Elite are weaving. I know it can be melodramatic for some. I know that it's not everyone's cup of tea, but the sheer level of ambition, thought, detail, and continuity that goes into it really is tremendous.
And we'll break it down on the podcast later on today. Look Absolutely. Forward to that one. It was a chaotic show that I cannot wait to make even more chaotic with my chaotic ways. Right, Penelope Ford's back. That's good. That's good. She wrestled her first match in 7 months last night. This was on the Dark Elevation tapings before Dynamite aired, so we're in Minneapolis for those tapings. She wrestled Heather Reckless in what sounds like a typical squash match for the format, by the sounds of things. So Penelope hadn't wrestled since January. Angelica Risk was her opponent. That was on the Dark taping at Orlando Universal Studios. She's been away ever since. Now, reports on her status have not really been forthcoming. It's been a bit of a, where'd Penelope go? She had that awesome plunder tag match, over Christmas, and then she's just kind of gone. Well, Tony Khan did tweet in July. Someone said, hey, have you forgotten about Penelope Ford? What's going on here? And he was like, no, not at all. She's not medically cleared to quit. I love Penelope. She'll be back. No worries. And she is back now. So this is good. 7 month absence. She's been with AEW since day one. I mean, I think her signing was announced in like early January 2019. Because she was still with Joey Janela at the time and they came in together. Obviously, circumstances have changed. But, you know, the last time she was kind of on TV was that war when she was teaming with the Bunny against Ty J. Their circumstances have certainly changed. Interestingly, her husband, Kip Sabian, he's been away for a while. Well, officially been away, but he's been in the crowd with the box on his head and stuff as well. So, interesting to think about what they might do with those two when they... Maybe they'll come back together on Dynamite or Rampage. Who knows? We'll see. But good to see Penelope Ford back. I think she's a very promising wrestler, and looking forward to what's next.
Yeah, I have to echo that completely. I will temper the excitement because I do think Tony Khan is very guilty of taking his rotational cast booking philosophy way too far when it comes to the women. So I'm not necessarily expecting her to appear quite frequently. But you know what? I do generally think she deserves that spot. As Murray points out, that plunder brawl was wild, really inventive, really cool. It was like right on New Year's Eve or something around that time.
Yeah.
She also had an absolute ripper with Hikaru Shida at FighterFest 2020. I think that is genuinely one of the most underrated matches in AEW history. It was such a great over-delivery. And again, I'm not expecting to see that most weeks because the women's division is what it is, but nonetheless, great to see Penelope Ford back.
Absolutely.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
And speaking of the women's division, Ty Conti's got a new ring name. So this is, the timing of this is pretty interesting. Well, I mean, it's kind of coincidental, really. It comes just like the day after her tag team partner, Anna Jay, became Anna Jay. Ty Conti is now Ty Mello. And this one is quite easily explained. Just lost my words there. So she was born Tainara Mello de Carvalho. She married George Conti in 2017. They were divorced in 2021. And throughout her wrestling career, her ring name has been Conti, surname. She was married to Sammy Guevara last week. So her real... congratulations.
Congrats.
To the happy couple. Awesome stuff. Saw Cody at the wedding. That guy, he's so photogenic, but when he has to pose for a photo, he does not know what to do with his face, does he? Such a good-looking man, and yet he's always like...
It's a good job he's as handsome as he is.
It really is. But yeah, they were married last week, and so Ty's now... Tainara Mello Guevara... Ty Mello on TV. She's facing, her and Sammy are defending the, what's the official name of this title? The AAA Mixed Tag Team Championships. They're defending them against Dante Martin and Sky Blue on Rampage, another real life couple. There you go, new ring name. Makes sense. Yeah, cool, good.
This might be the most self-explanatory, reasonable story that requires absolutely no colour commentary from me whatsoever.
Precisely. Let's move on to today's questions. Hey, we should point out as well, we're not actually here on Friday or Monday, so this is your last news video in the studio till Tuesday. That sucks, but what doesn't suck are these questions. The first one today comes from Anthony Ramos, who asks, good morning, with the AEW Trios title tournament bracket announced, is there a team you think should be in the tournament but isn't? Also, what songs are on your wrestling theme playlist? I mean, in an ideal world where they weren't like injured and stuff, Cole and Red Dragon would be in here, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They are clearly the standout team who aren't there. Unfortunately, the dissolution of Team Taz means that they can't be in it either, but I think we're all happy with the direction because Hobbs and Starks' feud's really quite hot. On that, in Jurassic Express are kind of no more as well, so they've kind of launched this title around about the time that a lot of the trios have actually split up completely. So I don't really have an answer to hand. I will say that 75% of this bracket promises to be the single greatest single elimination tournament in the history of North America. It looks absolutely incredible. Look, I'm no fan of the Trust Busters, and I'm a little bit disappointed that they've been included. I know they've done a little bit of work with them on Dark, but it's quite a bold direction for Khan to take in a tournament. I think it's been guilty in the past, particularly with the Full Gear Eliminators, right? Of like putting guys in who are clearly designated to lose in the opening bracket, don't have a great win-loss record, shouldn't really be orbiting the world title picture. But if you look at like three of the four matches in this tournament, like big major acts have to lose. It's atypical of Tony Khan, but it is in fact extremely bold. I would probably replace the Trust Busters with... I don't know.
You could put, like, I mean, even like a factory combination would make a little bit more sense, I think. Like, this Trustbusters game is so on the nose. Like, on Dark last week, and I want to give it a chance, I really do, but on Dark last week, like, they've got the entrance music that is clearly a ripoff of the Jane's Addiction song from Entourage. Afterwards, Tony Schiavone literally said to Ari Daivari, are you called Ari now because of Ari Gold? And it's like, Show, don't tell, yeah. guys. But
you could put FTR and Wardlow in, but yes, then there's a champion. Yeah. There are, in fact, like 10 champions in that one trio. Yeah. Yeah. And if they're not selected to win, which they're not, because it's clearly going to go to, you know, the Dark Order and yes. the Elite, one would think.
Which is our next question.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that now, okay. we might as well. Wrestling theme playlist, the second part of that question. Off the top of my head, I love the Butcher and the Blades theme. Hayabusa, no one expects me to say that. Dark Hayabusa is a good theme as well.
Yeah.
What else we got? Kensuke Sasaki has an all-time epic theme from Japan.
For me, Simply Ravishing, the Rick Rude WCW one. It's absolutely incredible. I think the absolute best, according to my like personal music taste sensibilities, like with synths and all the rest of it, right? And a theme that got an absolutely raucous reception in every single arena or hall, Ricky Choshu Power Hall.
Oh, boy.
It's absolutely un-goddamn believable. It fires you up. You can imagine, like, going Miami 1984 down the dusky streets at night listening to that. Oh my god, it's basically, look at me, I try and be a Miami Vice guy, and if I was a Miami Vice guy and not a pale dork from Gateshead, I would go down the highways to Power Hall.
Because I'm fat and greedy, I'm giving you three more, right? List by L7, anyone who uses that, it's like the hardest song of all time, you use that, you're immediately badass. Oh god, I forgot the other two. That's good. Owen Hart, just sensational. And an upgraded version of Rick Rude's theme. Rob Conway's theme. Anyway, next.
Jesus Christ.
Timothy Bristol asks, do you think Kenny Omega is the third man for the Bucks in the Trios tournament? Yes. And what do you think the chances are that they meet the Dark Order in the finals with Hangman, or is that just fantasy booking?
I don't think it's fantasy booking at all. I'm not being funny, right? I do like the Dark Order still. But I just can't see a combination of Silver, Reynolds, Ten and Uno going to that pay-per-view. I think that Hangman Page, whether someone gets an injury, obviously a worked injury, Page is going to be in that match, like quite clearly. He's just not. I like the idea from a character perspective that he would offer to second the Dark Order against anyone in this tournament, as it links back to All Out 2019, as I said. But I do think, if you can offer it and then begrudgingly accept the role in the trio, you can kill two birds with one stone there.
Absolutely. I can't really concoct anything better than that, so we'll leave it at that. Our final question of the day comes from Steiner Mathlete, who I like that.
That's a good ad.
Very, very good. Who is the Young Bucks bird? Caveat, wrong answers only.
Right, obviously it's not Omega, because that is the only real correct answer. Now, I'm trying to think of the history with the Bucks and a viable person they can bring in. The ultimate wrong answer to partner the Young Bucks is Top Dollar. Can you imagine?
Could have a feud over some shoes.
Exactly. They can come down to the ramp. They can stare at each other's like footwear and go, oh, what are you wearing that for? That's absolutely terrible. Then they go, ah, just kidding, my mates, after all.
You're wearing mids, you loser.
Yeah, yeah. Tremendous. What was it, Asics, that you had the problem with?
I think so.
They made the nicest Newcastle shirts in the 90s, Top Dollar, so honestly, don't know what you're talking about, mate.
Come on, Top Dollar, what are you doing? Gel lights are also really comfortable. You look like a dad,
Should we rate our shoes?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a nice limited edition pair of Air Force ones here.
Right, Top Dollar.
So, you know, have you got the Campus, the Samba, the Adidas?
Like Gazelle, I think? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
basically
know.
What I like to do, right, is because I like a gum sole, yeah?
Sole. Gumming?
Because a white sole, like, it's really hard to clean. The front of a white shoe is easier to clean. A sole, so I always like to go for a gum sole.
Yeah.
How do you like that practicality, Top Dollar? That's what I look for in a sneaker.
This is the problem as well, because my favourite shoe, and in my opinion the greatest shoe of all time, and I'm going to piss every sneakerhead off here, is the Stan Smith, the Adidas Stan Smith. I wear them like 5 days out of seven. White soles. But my wrong answer for the Young Bucks partner is the third buck, Malachi. Malachi Jackson. Is he still kicking about? He still wrestle? I don't think he does. PWG back in the day.
We could get Cutler's brother.
They could
that would
get
be
Cutler's
so
brother
funny
instead of Cutler.
Like the ultimate, because the Negum, and it's really funny. If they get Cutler's brother, it's like, it does say Cutler on the contract, but it doesn't say Brandon Cutler, because you're such a loser, Brandon. Shut up, Brandon.
He's so good in that role as well, Brandon.
He's awesome.
My thinking, you get Malachi in, right? You got Malachi Buck.
Or Papa. He knows how to blade.
Papa does know how to blade.
He offered, but they wouldn't let him.
You got Malachi Buck, Malachi Black. Second round, House of Black versus House of Buck. There you go. Would you like to see the House of Buck. But you know you probably wouldn't, because the House of Black will be much better than that. Right, we'll be back later today on the podcast feed. I think we're going to do the Dynamite review. I think we might do a Q&A as well. Maybe we'll put that out today. Maybe we'll put that out tomorrow. We're going to keep feeding you. Either way, thank you for joining us today. It's been a pleasure as always. I'm sure. Follow us on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. You can follow Michael on Twitter at
MSidgwick.
You can follow me at Andy H. Murray. The H stands for holidays. We're off from today until Tuesday. No news from us until then. We'll be back in the studio then. Have a great time. Drink a sensible amount of wine and climb a pine.
And wear sun cream. I got burnt twice on holiday. Definitely. It's impossible.
See, when you're bald, man, yeah, and you have to, it's the most demeaning thing. You have to slap it on your head. Wear sunscreen. You don't want the sun-dried tomato dome like I get every single time I go outside. I'm from Aberdeen. I'm not built for this. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.